The WBFO Brief Podcast is made possible by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Access to the newest treatments and most sophisticated testing is so important. It matters where you receive your cancer care. Spend one day with Roswell Park. Visit roswellpark.org.
Today's WBFO Brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
A Hurdle Avenue bar that was the scene of a fatal shooting earlier this week is now shut down by order of police. The Buffalo News reports a cease all operations order has been placed on the front door of Del Denby Tavern. In order to reopen, the establishment's owner will need to go before the city's permits and inspections department. Police say a 46-year-old man was shot just after 1 a.m. Tuesday during a fight on the bar's patio. He died later at ECMC. During a Tuesday afternoon press conference, police said it appears the victim and the shooter knew each other. Common Council members will delay their meeting scheduled for next Tuesday, May 14th, to honor and remember the victims killed in the racist attack on the Jefferson Avenue Tops on May 14th, 2022. In a statement, Council President Chris Scanlon encouraged residents to, quote, come together as a city to remember, reflect, take a pause, and reaffirm our commitment to combating hatred and bigotry. According to the city charter, a special session is required to change the date of the next meeting to Wednesday, May 15th. That special session will take place today after day one of budget workshops. And after a slow start full of managerial and administrative stumbles, officials say the state's retail marijuana system is growing. According to an update provided Tuesday to the Cannabis Advisory Board, the total of licensed marijuana dispensaries in New York State has doubled since February, now stands at 118. To date this year, there have been $132 million in sales. A University of Buffalo student faces charges for posting a threatening message on social media. The 18-year-old, whose name has not been released, is accused of a felony charge of making a terrorist threat and threatening mass harm, which is a misdemeanor. The message reportedly included a photo of a pro-Israel rally on the UB campus with a caption of violent nature. In a statement, university officials say any student who violates the school's code of conduct is also subject to the on-campus judicial process. The release also encouraged anyone who encounters threats of physical harm to contact university police. A Buffalo man faces up to 25 years in prison after pleading guilty to a manslaughter charge in connection with the death of his father-in-law. According to the Erie County District Attorney's Office, 41-year-old Mohammed Mia violated an order of protection when he entered the house of his estranged wife. During a violent encounter, he assaulted the father-in-law, leaving him unconscious. 47-year-old Mohammed Hussein died from his injuries 3 days later. Sentencing in that case is scheduled for June 26. And state officials are providing a one-year reminder of the changing identification rules for travelers. Beginning on May 7, 2025, everyone flying in the United States will be required to be in possession of a Real ID, Enhanced ID, or passport. The Department of Motor Vehicles provides enhanced and real IDs. Officials plan to be present in airports throughout the state to remind travelers of the approaching deadline.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying grifts find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
A state Supreme Court judge struck down New York's Equal Rights Amendment from the November ballot. Democrats who are counting on the measure to help generate voter turnout say they will appeal. WBFO Albany correspondent Karen DeWitt has more.
The amendment would enshrine the right to abortion in the state's constitution and protect discrimination against gender and gender identity. State Supreme Court Justice Daniel Doyle did not address the content of that amendment, but he instead ruled that the Senate and Assembly's vote on it during a July 2022 session on gun safety violated required procedures. Floor votes require a signed opinion from the state's attorney general, which Doyle says was never written. The New York State Assemblywoman who filed the lawsuit, Marjorie Burns, is a conservative Republican who opposes abortion. But she says she sued along with two citizens because she believes things need to be procedurally correct. And she says it's up to the minority party in a Democratic-dominated state to hold the majority party accountable.
There's no question I did vote against the the concurrent resolution both times in 2022 and in 2023. And should it come up again this year, which it might now in order to get the two consecutive votes and sessions in, I'll vote it against it again. But, you know, really, this lawsuit was 100% about the procedure that was utilized.
One day earlier at the Capitol, former GOP congressman and candidate for governor Lee Zeldin held a news conference urging New Yorkers to oppose the amendment. He says its passage would take away medical decisions from parents whose children seek treatments for gender dysphoria and would require transgender women to compete with biological women in school sports teams. The issue of transgender women in sports has become a flashpoint in recent culture wars.
From looking at history, that there has been no greater attack on women's rights and girls' rights in this state than this proposition.
Attorney General Tish James, in a statement, says the decision is disappointing but will be appealed. Governor Kathy Hochul, who has championed the Equal Rights Amendment, said in a statement that at a time when Donald Trump and his anti-abortion allies in New York are trying to undermine our rights, the decades-long fight to protect equality and reproductive freedom won't be derailed by one extremist judge. Senate Democratic Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins says she fully expects the appeal to be successful.
According to the reading of all of our very competent counsel, the lack of the AG's opinion does not negate the validity of our amendment. So we believe that we will be successful upon appeal, and we will certainly appeal that so that people will have the right to vote this November in terms of codifying our reproductive choice.
The state's highest court, the Court of Appeals, is dominated by liberal-leaning judges, although the outcome of any one case before the court can't be predicted. Democrats were already planning to spend millions of dollars on efforts to promote the amendment and to drive voter turnout in November. Several key congressional seats in the state and potentially the political control of the U.S. House of Representatives will be in play in New York this election season. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt for the New York Public News Network.
May is National Bike Safety Month, and the New York State Division of Consumer Protection is reminding residents to wear your bike helmets. As a matter of fact, an interesting note here from state officials. They're saying that you should make sure your helmet fits. You need to buckle it up and replace your bike helmet when needed, generally within 5 to 10 years of purchase. And by my calculations, that means my bike helmet's about 35 years past its date.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.